Well, good morning, everyone. It is so fantastic and so encouraging to be here with you today. If you're visiting for the first time, welcome. You've stumbled into something really amazing, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as I go through what I'm going to share today. My name's Greg, as you know already, and my wife and I have had a fantastic weekend here in Ottawa so far. We were last here in May of 2011. We came up for an anniversary getaway. Richard and Lillian Hislop were in town that weekend. My wife is really a big fan of tulips, and you guys do tulips really well. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but my wife likes tulips. I will take her to see tulips for her anniversary, but we had a great time there. Before that, we were here in Canada Day 2009. We were kind of on our way to Ontario and end up taking in the fireworks at the with the Stevensons, and I think it took them 6 weeks to get home on the bus that time. But we came up once before to visit the church before our daughter Jillian was born, and one of the things we did there was went skating on the Rideau Canal, and it's cold outside, but it's not yet ready for skating there, so that's a good thing as well. And three of our singles from Halifax came up to be part of your tremendous singles conference. And they had a great time. They came home and shared tremendously great things about that. And, we run into a bunch of parents at teen camp every summer. And it's so amazing and encouraging to see that the Ottawa Church had about 11 teens and preteens came down and had a great time. And so it was great to, the handoff of dropping kids off, running into other people we know, and being able to say hi there. And then Howard and Karen and Eric, we got to meet Eric, came to Halifax earlier this year. We got to meet them. Karen shared at a Women's Day. I heard did a great job there. Howard preached, and Eric is the most energetic four-year-old I've ever met in my life. But in July of this year, we met Giselle. She came up to Toronto for the Hope Canada Think Tank and got to meet her, and she was subbing in there. And it's so great to see Mike and Yvonne Richards here. Of course, where'd Mike go? Did I scare him away already? He heard I was preaching, decided, enough of that, I'm leaving. It was really great to see Mike and Yvonne Richards came out to Halifax on the original mission team there and then went to Toronto and now have, God is bringing them to Ottawa, which is really cool. And, Dominique and Benito, we know you guys from Toronto. In fact, Dominique was at the first Bible talk I ever went to, which would be 30 years ago this January. And that is, as Howard shared, had a lot more hair back then. And then, of course, my wife, Nancy and Laura, go way back. They were roommates together at Queen's University. And, we have this annual tradition at teen camp. We meet at an Olive Garden, and we do that with Dave and Laura. And, again, thank you for hosting us last night. You guys did a fantastic job. It was so great to be welcomed into your home. And so I think, I know Rob, too, from Campus Days, and so... And I think if I've missed anyone, please, I apologize. But I share all this. My point is really because of this wonderful, amazing family of churches that we have these ligaments and these relationships, these connections that really serve to keep us together as family. And that's really what it's all about is family. And so speaking of family, I thought I would introduce our family to you. And this was taken in August at a wedding that we were at. Nancy, my wife, works for the school board, and our son Cameron is in his third year of university at biology, and Jillian is in her last year of high school, and I work in the telecom sector. And so why am I showing you this picture? Well, first of all, we're talking about family. I'm very proud of the family that God has blessed us with. But I also heard a long time ago that, if a preacher shows a picture of his family, you look and go, well, they're a pretty good-looking group of people. He can't be all that bad. So I throw that out there. So this morning what I'd like to do is talk about what really matters. And I want to talk about Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The last part of that verse says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. An earlier translation of the NIV said the only thing that counts is faith, that matters, is faith expressing itself through love. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a church or a group of churches who were struggling with imposing kind of rules and regulations upon their Christianity. but upon their faith, adding extra things on top of their faith. You know, likewise, we too can kind of get wrapped up with adding in extra rules and regulations and the busyness of life, the demands of our schedule, and all this stuff kind of piles on top of our Christianity. It can make it, a busy week. We can feel overwhelmed. We can, all these distractions that kind of pull and buy for what should be priorities in our lives and really pull at us and tear and really kind of keeping our eyes, unfortunately, off of what we should be focused on is this. And, you know, as we talk about faith, as you embark on your Christian journey, and everyone's at a different point in their journey of faith. Everyone is, we have, new Christians, we have people that have been in the faith a long time. And I think sometimes we can tend to be tempted to think that, if I become a Christian, life is going to be easy. That I become a Christian and poof, all only good things will happen. But, God never promised that. In fact, the Old Testament says that He brings rain on the righteous and rain on the unrighteous. He brings storms on the righteous and on the unrighteous. So my question before you this morning is where are you when times are tough? Where is your faith when times are really tough? Where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? Where is your God when times are challenging? Maybe we've had friends or families or maybe even a little voice that whispers in our head. Questions. When we're going through hard times, well, where is your God right now? It's interesting, even when Jesus hung on the cross, there were people that really challenged him and said, where is your God? They said, come down from the cross if you really are the Son of God, if your God is really that big. Where are we when the storms of life come? When the waves are really, really high. This is a picture of our son when he was first born, Cameron. And, just talking about who we know. I mean, Howard and Karen were, came to visit us among themselves. Cameron spent about half of his first year at Sick Kids Hospital with kidney challenges. You wouldn't know that now. But I remember going through that period of time. And it was a very, very challenging time. Where are we when life throws you a curveball or two or five? Since we've moved to Halifax, this is how many companies I've worked for. A brother once said, is that many? I thought there were more. But, the ups and downs of living in a smaller city, the ups and downs of various industries, upsizings, downsizing, right-sizing, left-sizing, going through challenges in our career changes. Where are we when life throws us a curveball? Where are we when the load that we're carrying sometimes seems too heavy to bear? Since we moved to Halifax, I've flown back to Toronto and buried three of my uncles. That's my dad in the middle. That's when Jillian was a lot smaller. My dad passed away 6 years ago to cancer. And you go through things like that and you just kind of, it's a challenging time. I think of James chapter 1, a scripture that I've gone to often. In verse 2 it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. I remember several nights walking the hallways of Sick Kids. And the natural question we ask when we experience challenge, at least for me, is why, God? Why is this happening? But then as I read this verse, it kind of jumped out at me. I was asking the wrong question. Because right there in the middle, it says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. And I thought to myself, why is that verse there? It's like talking about perseverance, and where does wisdom come in? And then I realized that for me, when I was going through the trials, I was asking the wrong question. I was asking God, why me? Why Cameron? Why our family? Instead of saying, God, give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me perseverance. How to handle this challenge and view it with faith. Because God has a plan in everything. If we really believe the Bible, everything happens because either God allows it or God causes it to happen. And so our job, as we're on this journey of faith, is really figure out what is God's plan in this. As painful as it is, as challenging as it is, what am I supposed to learn from this? It's not an easy question to ask. I don't claim that it is. But God has a plan. So as we think about this, you know, for all of us, really saying, where is our God today? Where is He in our lives? You know, it's interesting as we get older in the faith. Next year, I'll have been a Christian for 30 years. And have you ever been at a low point in your faith? You know, about 3.5, 4 years ago, I was really at a really low point in my faith. I was talking to a very good friend of mine, and we were talking, and I was getting some advice, some discipling, and you know, I shared, you know, how I was feeling. And I said this, I remember saying this, I said, perhaps God is done with me. You know, maybe the glory days are in the past. You know, maybe my usefulness, that was then. But this is now. I don't know if anyone has ever been tempted to feel that way. Maybe it's just me. But you know, then God has a way of intervening. He has a way of getting our attention. I'll never forget October 24, 2012. I'd gone in for a routine eye checkup. The doctor looked at my eyes and said, hmm. You know, when a doctor says, hmm, that's always a kind of, what do you mean by hmm? Can you interpret that for me, please? And she ordered me to see a specialist within 24 hours. I went in to see the specialist. The specialist said, hmm. There's that word again. What does it mean? And ordered me to get to the ER as soon as possible. I was at a blood pressure of 238 over 136. If you're in the medical profession, if you Google it, it is literally off the charts. I was hours away from a major stroke or a heart attack. And I remember heading to the ER. It was a beautiful fall day in Halifax. It's amazing what you remember when you go through things like that. I remember driving along by the ocean, one of my favorite views in the city. I'd called Nancy to come get me, and he said, what's up? I said, oh, just meet me here. That'd be good. I just didn't want to alarm her too much. I was really struggling to keep it together myself. And as I drove along the ocean, I remember looking at the ocean, the sun, and the leaves were changing. And it was a beautiful scene. I just thought, what if this is it? Am I ready to meet my Creator? You know, that event prompted me to make some very significant changes in my life. My Christianity today is much more vivid, much more real. You know, what's really important has become a lot more crystal clear. And you know, we even if we've been in the church a long time, we can get distracted by things. We can get caught up in the world. And, you know, since then, I've seen God do some pretty incredibly amazing things. It appears that, you know, he has a few more years of service left for me. In case you're wondering, I am doing much better. The diagnosis is genetic. I'm on medication. Blood pressure is way down. It's better than it's been in years. But the impact on my life, I think, has been significant. This is a couple pictures. I shared earlier with people that last December, we got to go to India, as part of Hope Youth Corps. And this is my plug for Hope Youth Corps. If you have any way to get your kids to take them yourself, they have family youth corps, to send them to youth corps, please, it will change their lives. I know us going to India changed our lives. And you don't have to go to India. This year, there's a Hope Youth Corps in Vancouver. So, First Canadian Hope Youth Corps. But, you know, since going there, since that event in October 2012, I've been more motivated and I feel called to do something with my faith. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, a popular rendering of it says, to whom much is given, much will be expected. You know, coming back from India, we really kind of picked up a phrase that's very popular, and we talk more about what our first world problems are and what our third world problems. Like a lineup at Starbucks or Tim Hortons, that's really a first world problem. You know, I remember coming back from India, and we had no food in the house, so I went over to Sobeys to get some groceries. I remember walking in and just feeling overwhelmed with emotion. That here was all this food, all this fresh food. I could afford it. I had choices. I had selection. And I just remember that moment. So I've decided since that day in October to take my faith and do something with it. To whom much has been given. You know, if we take stock of what we have in our lives, with what God has blessed us with. I mean, just a couple of things here. So we went to India, and you know, this is the Ashram orphanage. That's a basket that over the course of winter, 2 to 3 babies will be left in. You know, I think for my life, I'm adopted. Chosen is the word I like to use. But if I'd not been born in Canada, where would my life be? And I think I was born here. I didn't choose to move here. I won the lottery that way. But I live in we live in a great country. This is our daughter at the Tigray school. We actually went to the leper colony. We got to reach out our hand and touch a leper and help clean their wounds and things. That's Nancy and Jillian outside the Tigray school in one of the largest slums of India. There's about 1 million people. Sanitation is non-existent, but we had a tremendous life-changing time. And then coming back from there, speaking on my blood pressure and my health, Jillian and I and our Hope volunteers, we ran a 10K in May. Yes, I finished it. I made it 10K. Never run 10K in my life, so we're going to try and do that again, but we were able to raise over $10,000 for Hope India, so we're very excited about that. But we've been given much. And as God will expect us to do much with it. You know, I look at my wife. Next year we'll celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. I think of our children. Amazing. We're blessed. We're fortunate. Both of them are Christians. Jillian became a Christian earlier this year. Cameron, Mike, you'd remember, he's now 20. Third year med school. Mike came over and babysat when we lived in Halifax. I think Cameron threw up on you. He doesn't throw up much anymore. We've weaned him of that. But, you know, I look at our children and go, wow, we have been blessed. And God, even through the ups and downs of my job, over and over again, God provides, God provides, God provides. You know, I think of Matthew 25, and it says there, you know, it's the parable of the talents, or the parable of the gold, and one's given 5, one's given 10, and one's given 2. And, you know, in that passage, the whole goal is we can't bury what God has given us. We have to do something with it. You know, it's interesting. If we look at the passages of the Bible, we look at the context of what they're written. When Jesus talks about the parable of the talents later on in Matthew 25, earlier on in Matthew, he's talked about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And, you know, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And really, Jesus' call to really do something about the poor. And at the end of the day, I just got to make sure that I'm a sheep, I'm not a goat. Because the goats will not make it on the day of judgment. You know, this morning, I've really tried to share about what's really important here. And the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You know, this is that we don't need to be reminded. We just need to turn on the news. This is a dark, hurting, and broken world. You know, what am I going to do this week to express my faith through love? You know, as we get ready to take communion, of course, the greatest expression of love is what Jesus did on the cross. You know, what he did in voluntarily giving up his life and really buying our freedom, buying our salvation. The greatest expression of love. And Jesus did that with faith, also knowing that not many would respond, that only a few would. But when he went to the cross, he had a vision of us and what that salvation would buy for each of us. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Let's give thanks at this time for the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, we want at this time to come before you and express, Father, our gratitude, Father, for what you've done for us, for how you've rescued us, for how you intervened in our lives so that we can encounter you. Father, we think of the cross. We think of what Jesus went through. We think of his suffering. We think of his separation from his heavenly Father. We think of how he took his sin, our sins, Father, upon him. Father, thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus. Thank you for what it means to each and every one of us, the hope that it provides, the healing that it provides, and Father, the hope of spending eternity with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love for us. Thank you for his sacrifice. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.